Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for what has already transpired, and we are ready now for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am elated, ecstatic, and excited to bring back, as I mentioned earlier, Pastors Derek and Daryl Etienne. They are twin brothers. They are both married, and God has blessed them both with their set of children. And we thank the Lord for their professional, personal, and spiritual ministry and lives. As I was looking at their bio over the last several weeks, they've been with us now the third time. They were with us in March for the pastor's anniversary, pastor and church anniversary. They were with us just last week for a great youth revival. And now they're back again with us today, twice for Scholarship Sunday. These two young men are accomplished academically, they are accomplished athletically, but more importantly, they are accomplished spiritually. I was impressed when I read, didn't know that when I first met them, that they are both professional soccer players, having played on, the Haitian national team? The Haitian national. They're both Haitian by descendancy, and we thank the Lord for their athletic abilities and what the Lord has done through them there. They are gospel recording artists, soon to put out their first CD in 20, is already out? Yeah, one out now. We thank the Lord for their abilities in the musical world. They are authors writing their first book, which I think that's expected out next year in 2013. So besides being authors, musical recording art, gospel recording artists, as well as former professional athletes, their call is to be the co-pastors of the Latter Glory Church. One church, two locations, one in Paterson, New Jersey, the other in Richmond, Virginia. And the Lord has an awesome interstate ministry, international ministry that is budding and growing in their midst. I could say a lot more about them, but I think for those who have heard them, know that you're in for a blessing. How many of you heard them in March? Amen. A few of you. Those who have not heard them, you're going to hear the word of God in a most unique form. Even as they came in and they knelt down and prayed together, I watched them. And as twins do, they both finished their prayer and got up at the same time together. I said, these twins are something else. So, and without further ado, I want you to give God a praise offering as I welcome back to the pulpit pastors Derek and Daryl Etienne. Say, Lord, bless us through your preachers, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. One more praise offering. Let's hear it. Give God a praise offering. Pastors Derek and Daryl Etienne.
Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus now. Let's give him the glory. He alone is worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, and of all the praise. We give honor to God, his Son, Jesus, and the precious Holy Spirit. We're thankful for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to worship with you, amen, on this Scholarship Sunday. It's a pleasure to be a part of the morning glory, amen. I love the morning glory, the early service, because most likely you intended to be here, amen. You purposed to be here, which means that you came expecting something from the Lord. And I believe anytime there is expectation, God will reveal demonstration, hallelujah, which leads us to manifestation. And so we're just thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this worship experience today. We give honor to God for the man of God, amen, the pastor of this great house. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Daryl Armstrong, amen. To his wife, to his lovely family, to all of the ministers and all the deacons and the trustees, the leadership here at Shiloh Baptist Church of Trenton, and all of the people of God that are connected and disciples of this great house. We celebrate you this morning. Amen. We're going to give you what the Lord has given us as we prepare to just talk to you a little bit from the Word of God. Pastor already stated that, you know, God has uniquely blessed and anointed us with the delivery of ministry. And you're probably wondering, how are these two going to do this? Is one going to preach and one going to sit down, and or what? Because we got a second service. So, but no, we were in our mother's womb together. Amen. And when the Lord brought me out first, 5 minutes later, he said, I got to do it again. Amen. But while we were in our mother's womb together, we came out. We did a lot of things together. Amen. Sinned together. But thank God we got saved together. Hallelujah. Accepted our calling together. Amen. And now we're going to preach together. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to 2 Samuel, chapter number 6. 2 Samuel, chapter number 6.
Amen. Now, you have to excuse my brother. He's been celebrating his 17th wedding anniversary the whole month of June. Amen.
Yes.
So, the Lord has just been blessing him, and I'm grateful for what the Lord is doing in his life. I already did 17 years in February, so he's just catching up to me. Amen. But we're thankful. Amen. Next month we will be, in August we'll be turning 38 years old. Amen. So continue to keep us in prayer. Amen. And we just love the Lord, and we thank God. And I do want to acknowledge this excellent man of God, though. He already mentioned Pastor Armstrong, Darryl Armstrong, but he has just such a wonderful name, Darryl. Darryl, great name, very great name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, do you have your Bibles? 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verses 12 through 16. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it reads, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness.
And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod.
So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart.
Can you say amen?
We
want to focus in on that verse that said, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. We're just going to talk to you for a few minutes from the subject, and just remain standing while we quickly pray. From the subject that there's a story behind my praise. Hallelujah. There's a story behind my praise. God, we thank you for speaking to us. Now speak through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. I told you it was going to be a quick prayer. While you're taking your seats, just lean over and tell somebody, there's a story behind my praise.
There's a story behind
In this particular text, we're dealing with one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament, known as King David. David, this David who was called at a young age. Called theologians would identify that he was called at the age of 17, but yet still had to wait until he was 30 before he was king. Received his first anointing when he was 17, his second anointing when he was king of Judah, and then his third anointing when he was king of all of Israel. David, God had a plan for his life, and spoke this plan even while he was a young person. He said that I have found me a man after my own heart. Interesting, because David was just a boy when God spoke to him. He looked at the boy and said, I found a man. It just blesses me how God can look at where you are now, but really see where you are going. Can see what state you're in at the present moment, but look beyond that and know how you're going to end up. So God is not surprised by our situation and circumstances.
He's not surprised by any of our present conditions that we may be facing, for he knows what the end of the story will be like. And so God knew that David was a man after his heart that was replacing the first king, Saul. And so because God knew the purpose and plan for him, he decided to prepare him. And what greater way to prepare someone for greatness by placing a giant in front of them? And so he put this giant in front of him. And David, you know the story of David and Goliath. He slew the giant with the rock, and he knocked the giant down, and he cut the giant's head off and was victorious. And look at the promotion that he received after defeating the giant. Because after he defeated him, he then became Saul's armor bearer, was welcomed into the house, and began to serve in the army. All of this took place after he defeated the giant. So I just feel that the level of your promotion is determined by the level of your giant. I think I need to say that one again, that sometimes the level of your promotion, how high God wants to take you, is really determined by how high the giants are that stand in front of you. So I would just like to serve notice on the devil who think he hit me with his best shot and thought that I was going to quit and give up. If there's anybody in this room that is going through something and you are facing a giant, and it seems like a big giant, it seems like an invincible giant, a giant that can't be beat, can't be destroyed, I come to tell you the size of that giant is just determining the size of your promotion. In other words, when you defeat this giant, and I said you will defeat the giant, when you defeat this giant, you are going to be elevated. Help me preach real quick. High five somebody. Say, get ready for promotion.
Get ready for promotion.
Hallelujah.
Get ready for promotion. So sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's an obstacle. Sometimes it's an opposition that you face that's the size of a giant. But your willingness to lean and depend on God allows God to lift you up to another place in him. Can you say amen? And so Saul is the king, and now David has been promoted to be his armor bearer. And when he defeated the giant, now he's in charge of the whole army. The Bible declares that Saul loved David. But then when David started winning in victory, the relationship changed. It's interesting how people love you one day.
Come on.
But soon as God starts blessing you, they start acting funny. When he was just a nobody entering into the palace, Saul loved him. But when people started praising David, saying Saul slayed his thousand and David slayed his 10,000s, now Saul starts tripping. And so it's amazing to me that they forget about the one that played the music and delivered Saul from the evil spirits. When Saul was troubled in his mind, this David began to exercise his gift, and it brought deliverance to Saul. But Saul forgot about all of that because jealousy arose in him because of the gifting inside of David. Watch out for people who say Hosanna today, because by the end of the week they'll cry crucify him. They'll change just like the weather. But I'm so glad that compliments don't move me, and neither do people's attitudes move me. Whether they say good job or whether they say I can't stand you, neither one of them move me from my focus. Because if they're saying good job today, they're probably trying to take the job tomorrow. But I'm so glad that wherever I find myself, God has got my back. Give God praise if you know that God's got your back. So he moved over and he became the armor bearer, but yet at the same time, the one that he served was trying to kill him. And so if you move further on with the story of David, David began to flee for his life. He left and he began to stay in a place called Ziklag. Those of you that were here on last Friday, we talked about Ziklag. And Ziklag literally means a downward spiral. David was thrusted out, and because of his frustration and his fear and his rejection, he began to do things a
little bit out of the will of God. He began to operate in his own flesh and operate out of his own will, all because of rejection and frustration and anger. And many of us don't look bad at David, because some of us did some stuff when we got angry. We said some stuff we shouldn't have said because we were frustrated. We acted a certain way because of rejection. So don't put your nose down up on David, because some of us are still dealing with the same issues today. But David had a scenario where he went and his family was destroyed, or his house was destroyed and his family was kidnapped, all because he went to fight. And when he came back, everything seemed to be burnt up, burnt out, and he was frustrated. But then you know the story. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's going to come a time in this journey of life that you will feel frustration, anger, and you will look for people to encourage you, but they will not be able to encourage you. You will look for people to say good job, but they won't be around to say good job. You'll be looking for somebody to pray for you, and you can't find nobody to get a prayer through. But that's the time when you don't get upset, you don't fret, you just look yourself in the mirror and encourage yourself in the Lord. Help me preach real quick. High five three people and say, encourage yourself for this one.
Encourage yourself for this one.
Yes.
Encouraged himself in the Lord.
Uh-huh.
When he encouraged himself in the Lord, he pursued his enemies, and David recovered everything.
Uh-huh.
And God began to give him everything back. All of this was going on while David was waiting for the opportunity to walk in the destiny that God planned for him.
Mm-hmm.
That is to be the next king of Israel.
Yeah.
And so now the reason that God had chosen David to be the next king is because Saul was rejected as king.
Okay.
Saul was the first king that was anointed. He was the one that looked like a king, strong, and God used him in a mighty way. But one act of disobedience caused him to lose everything.
My God.
Before we begin to turn our nose down at Saul, we got to thank God for his grace.
Uh-huh.
Because some of us messed up more than once.
Come on.
And yet he still had mercy on us. But Saul messed up one time, and the Lord rejected him and tore the kingdom from him. And so now, when Saul had now lost the kingdom of God, and he's no longer the king of Israel, but yet God left him in position.
Oh.
So he did not have the anointing, but yet he still had the position.
Oh.
Interesting, because sometimes we see that there are people who are sitting in the place or sitting in the position, but do not have the anointing.
Oh my God.
And so God is the only employee that will fire you and leave you on the job.
Oh my God.
Good job. He's the only one that can take your authority from you. But you may think that you're somebody because you still have the position, but he did not have the presence. And so now you understand, when Saul began to move and get ready for the transition, God was ready to remove him from the throne and put David in place. All of this is happening while David is waiting patiently on the Lord. So he's gone through rejection from his fathers, gone through rejection from his brothers, gone through rejections from Saul, gone through being even with his own men that he trained, decided they wanted to stone him, had to encourage himself in the Lord, had to fight against lions, had to fight against bears, had to fight against giants. All of this because God chose him. If he would have known that he had to go through all of those things, he probably wouldn't have said yes. And isn't it funny how God will choose you for something, but conveniently leave out the details of what you've got to go through in order for it to come to pass? He said that he'll bring you to the other side, but didn't tell you that a storm is coming before you get to the other side. But I'm so glad that even in the midst of the storm, there is a blessing in the storm, and there's
a lesson in the storm, that the one who creates the storm is able to speak to the storm and say, peace be still, and I'll make it to the other side. While David is waiting for his opportunity, he's still trusting God. And now the time has come when now Saul is no longer on the scene. And the men came to David and said, you are now the king of Israel. Now fulfill your destiny. But before David took a seat in the throne room, before he put on the robe and put on the crown, before he put on his signet, before he made any declarations or decrees, the first thing he did, he said, I've got to get the presence of God back. He said, I need the Ark of the Covenant back in my life. So the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's anointing, his presence, his power, his provision. And anytime Israel went to battle, they had the Ark of the Covenant standing in front of them, which was God himself that moved in the midst of his people. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Now inside the Ark of the Covenant was the tablets that Moses had, which represents the Word of God. If you want to see a mighty move of God in your life, you need to embrace the Word of God. It's time out for us to think that we can just jump up, spin around, hop on three legs, and the blessing is yours. The devil is a liar. You got to have the Word of God. You got to want the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to declare the Word of God. Not only do you read and declare it and give it to somebody else, but the same words you give to them, you got to receive it for yourself. Tell somebody you need the Word of God. So inside the Ark of the Covenant is the Word of God, or the promises of God. But also inside the Ark of the Covenant was a jar of manna, which was reminding of when God fed the manna in the wilderness, which is a symbol of the provisions of God. And so every now and then you got to be reminded of how God provided for you. He proved himself to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides for us. And also in the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod, the rod that was thrown before the Ark that overnight budded, blossomed, and brought forth fruit. This rod was also when Moses stretched across the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the obstacle began to move in a heap. So this rod is a symbol of the power of God. So inside the Ark of the Covenant is the promises of God, is the provisions of God, and the power of God. But then sitting on top of the Ark is known as the mercy seat. Two angels sitting with outstretched wings facing one another, and in the middle of the two angels, the visible manifestation of the presence of God sat in between them. In other words, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there will I be in the midst of them. So in the middle of the ark of the mercy seat was the presence of God. So what is the Ark of the Covenant? It is the promises of God, the provisions of God, the power of God, and the presence of God. And Saul was serving as king without the promise of God, with the provisions of God, the power of God, or the presence of God. But when David took the throne, he said, before I do anything, I need the power of God. I need the provisions of God. I need the promises of God, and I need the presence of God. I've got to bring the glory back. Look at somebody next to you and say, I need the glory.
I need the glory.
And so the Bible says in the scripture that we read that the ark was put in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. Now what happened was David, he went and got the Ark of the Covenant, and he began to bring it and transition it back to Israel. But yet he put it on a new cart, and as the cart began to shake, it hit a bump in the road. The cart began to fall, and so a man by the name of Uzzah, he reached and tried to stop the ark from falling. But at that particular particular moment, he dropped dead on the spot. The word Uzzah literally means man's own strength. And so that was symbol, is a symbol to us that we can't do the things of God in our own strength, but we've got to fully rely on God. That's why the Lord said that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. As soon as you think that you all of that and the bag of chips and some dip, God says, I don't need you, but I need somebody who's humble, who's committed, somebody who says, it ain't about me, it's all about you, God. So Uzzah was a wrong one, and because of this, the ark fell. Well, they stopped the ark, and he says, I'm afraid. So he hid it in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And so for 3 months, the Bible said Obed-Edom's house was blessed beyond measure. What are you saying, preacher? When you have the promise of God, when you have the provisions of God, when you're dealing with the power of God, and you embrace the presence of God, you will receive the blessings from God. And so Obed-Edom's house was blessed for 3 months because he had the glory in his house. Tell somebody around you, I want that kind of blessing. I want that kind of blessing. As we get ready to close this, when David saw that Obed-Edom's house was blessed, he said, I've got to bring the presence back to my house. I've got to bring the glory back to Israel. So what he did, he said, I got to seek the Lord and see how do we bring this back. We can't use Uzzah's own strength. We got to do it God's way. And so if you want to see a mighty move of God, we got to do it God's way. Time out for man's performances. Time out for entertaining people. I didn't come to be entertained, but I came to be empowered. I came to be edified. And so we got to do it God's way. And what was God's way? God said the only way that you can carry the ark is to put it on the shoulders of anointed priests. In other words, find somebody who got broad enough shoulders to carry the weight of glory. I need somebody that's strong enough to take a licking and keep on ticking. Somebody that can go through hell and high water but still lift up their hands. Somebody that can go through trouble on the job but still carry the name of Jesus. Someone that can go through trouble in their home but still strong enough to give God the glory. That's the ones who carry the presence. That's the ones who carry the glory. So David put the ark on the hands and shoulders of the anointed priests, and then he told them that every 6 steps sacrifice a bull. I thought when the lady was praying and she started talking about how the flesh is burned at the altar, I thought, who told her what we were preaching about? Because every 6 steps they had to offer a sacrifice on the altar. 6 is the number of man. 6 is the number of flesh. So every 6 steps, we gotta kill the flesh. Kill our own will. Kill our own desires. Kill our own ambition. So we can fulfill the will of God. Somebody shout yes. Now in closing, we only got about 2.5 minutes. And so now what happened was, they said that every 6 steps, you have to kill the bull. Every 6 steps, you got to kill the bull. Tell somebody, just kill the bull, kill the bull, kill,
kill the bull.
Bull,
kill the bull.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of bull going on. We got to kill the bull.
Watch out.
And so what happened, every 6 steps, so they walked 6 steps and they killed a bull. Walked another 6 steps, made another sacrifice. Another 6 steps, made another sacrifice.
Now
the distance from where Uzzah died all the way back to the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem was 32,808 feet.
Okay.
So if they had to sacrifice a bull every 6 steps, that would suggest that by the time they get back to Israel, they will have sacrificed 5,468 bulls.
My God.
So all of this sacrifice was made all because I want the glory back. So when they tell you you got a second service, that is a sacrifice. But when you want the glory, you're not complaining about it. They got prayer meeting at 6 a.m. It is a sacrifice, but you want the glory back. Tell somebody, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. So the Bible said that when he got to the top of the hill, from out of the 5,000 sacrifices that was made, David began to shout and give God praise. But I can see David now looking down the hill and seeing the blood. Good God from Zion, looking down the hill when he saw the blood from all of the sacrifice that was made. I believe it was a prophetic impartation of the future blood that was going to be sacrificed for man's kind. Oh, what can wash away all of my sin? Nothing, nothing but the blood. Somebody say, thank God for the blood.
Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. So when he looked at the blood and saw the sacrifice that was made, the Bible said David danced to the point he danced out of his clothes. In other words, nothing would restrict him from giving God praise, because he knew there was a story behind his praise. That David didn't just get here on the last drop of rain, but David went through some stuff, and out of all that he'd been through, God brought him out. So he began to praise God. Out of every step I take, I've got to give God praise. Is there anybody in this room that know you got a story behind your praise? The reason I get radical is because God had to be radical to deliver me. He had to reach way down to deliver me. So I've got to reach way up to give him the glory. Is there anybody that got a crazy praise? That means an undignified praise.
Yes.
I don't care what you think about me, praise. Give God a praise right now.
Hallelujah. Now, let me warn you. The Bible said that while David was praising, that his own wife looked at him and despised him and said, how dare you praise like that? Everybody looking at you, dancing out of your clothes. Be surprised of people who might be sitting on your row saying, it don't take all of that. I wish they'd sit down. I dare you to praise right in their face. Give God the praise.
Yes, hallelujah. And so when his wife said, why are you praising God, acting all undignified? He began to say, girl, if I can paraphrase, if you only knew what I've been through, you would be praising him too. He said, if you think I'm crazy now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now that the glory is back in our lives, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has revealed to the hearts of man the things that God has in store for you. Go ahead and praise God for what he's already done. There's a story behind your praise.
Oh,